Hey, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm Chris Chin, talking to you after the Raptors blowout to start, but in a weird way, I guess you had a good outcome and the best you could have hoped for having been down 30 points at one point. We're going to talk about the two main events and I guess two different roller coasters that the Warriors are on. One being the Jonathan Kuminga experience. And then secondly, we're going to talk about Mike Dunleavy's pregame interview, which just shines a bunch of light on kind of where him and the front office are in terms of just their initial thoughts kind of rebuilding, or I guess building off of this Jimmy Butler injury and just what they're open to. So we'll get to that on the back half. But let's talk about Jonathan Kuminga. Man, it's the ride that never ends, right? It's like small world. It's it hasn't played in about a month, hasn't played significant minutes and well beyond that. And ironically, Jonathan Kuminga enters the game to start the second quarter. Pretty insignificant, just shaking off a little rust. Didn't really do much in about 4 or 5 minutes there. Warriors actually thought he played fine, didn't really make any mistakes, and did what you would have hoped for him. Whatever, pulled down a couple of rebounds and didn't score in that stint. And the Warriors actually hit a big slump offensively, but I do not put that on Kuminga during that stint. Comes in the second half, Warriors down 30 at one point, probably 26, 27 when he enters the game. And he comes in and provides an immediate spark, starts the shift off next to Melton, Will Richard. I don't think Buddy Hield was in at that point, who also caught fire. And the Warriors go on a run. Jonathan Kuminga comes in and immediately makes an impact, has a lob alley-oop dunk, which some Warriors tweeters were saying is the most exciting thing to happen to the Warriors in months, which I'll disagree with, but it was exciting and it is exciting to watch Kuminga. My eyes are glued to him the whole time. Has a couple and one opportunities, gets to the line, makes some tough shots, eventually hits a three, plays for 16 straight minutes. I can't imagine that his conditioning is anywhere near what it's supposed to be, having just not played in as long as he hasn't, but comes in, they go on a run, finishes the third quarter, and pretty much plays the entire fourth until the game hits garbage time in the last couple of minutes. They trim the lead down to single digits at one point. And for the most part, Kuminga looks like good Kuminga, scoring. Basically took the Raptors at one point into the Raptors started double teaming him at one point. And it was a pretty blatant double team too, just kind of a cleared out isolation side. And Scotty Barnes comes, or Ingram, one of the two, comes across the paint and literally just posts up behind the whoever was guarding Kuminga. And it's a straight double team. Makes a very good rebounding, has a good rebounding presence, has a nice offensive rebound, has another offensive rebound that he keeps alive that he doesn't get credit for. I thought saw the court pretty well. A couple turnovers, but that's to be expected. And I think with Kuminga and the more he's going to handle the ball, that's going to be his Achilles heel. It's just he doesn't have the tightest handle. And, you know, there's going to be some turnovers, but the only way to get that better is to play him. It was a great game for Kuminga. 20 points in 21 minutes, had 5 rebounds, could have had more, had an assist, and had an impact on winning basketball. Where do I land in terms of the whole Kuminga playing time thing? I land on, what if you've been playing him this whole time, at least, you know, committing to 15, 20 minutes per game, and he had started doing this consistently? That's where I land. Somewhere in between, right? Between 0 minutes and between full-time minutes. Doesn't need to be a starter. Doesn't make a ton of sense playing next to Jimmy Butler, although we've seen that it can be successful. And it shouldn't be DNPs, is my point. The whole point of the first half of the season with Kuminga on the roster and this whole offseason was to play him to give him a chance to break out, to improve, and to increase his trade value. Instead, the exact opposite happened. And I understand, again, some of the reasons why he's playing less slash not at all. He's redundant on Jimmy Butler. The spacing doesn't move the ball well and not a great decision maker and not great playing off of Steph Curry. I get it. But Jonathan Kuminga brings so much more to this team than anyone else offers. You know, he brings you someone, first off, that can score and create a shot for himself. He can score in isolation. Outside of Jimmy Butler, you know, you don't have that out of any of your wing players. He gives you raw athleticism. And I'm going to say it, he gives you good rebounding. He's been a good rebounder this season, especially on a per minutes basis. I think per game, he's averaging like over 6 rebounds this season, albeit in a small sample size. But given the minutes, I mean, that's probably the highest rate of rebounding on the team. He has improved his rebounding and his effort on the boards a lot, and I'm going to give him credit for it. He doesn't space the floor well, but, you know, he's turned into a good, not a good enough shooter, but he's, you know, he's pretty much kind of sitting in between like 31-33%. But most importantly, he just gives you some athletic explosiveness. He's a vertical spacer. He can catch lobs and finish at the hoop. He's a play finisher, which you don't have. He's somebody that can get to the line. He's somebody that can get out and transition. He's somebody that can play defense against the most athletic wings in the league. Your Scotty Barneses, your Brandon Ingrams, your Anthony Edwardses, who we're going to see on back-to-back games coming up this next week. He gives you just a different look, and you saw it last night. It's something that no one else on the Warriors can provide, and it's an immediate spark in some ways on the court. Not in all ways. He's not a perfect player. I understand that. But again, the only way to improve is just to keep on playing him and giving him the minutes. So I land on the Warriors should have and could have been giving him at least 15, 20 minutes per game. I agree with Steve Kerr when he says that Kuminga, he's a rhythm player. He needs, if you're going to play him, you need to commit to enough minutes to give him. You can't just play him for like 10 minutes a game. It just takes him a while to settle into the game. Last night was a microcosm of that. First shift, not impactful. Second shift, as he's nearing that, you know, 10, 12, 15 minute mark, that's when he settles into the game and the game sorts to start to flow and slow down to him. And that's where he's effective. So it's a weird conundrum of how much you play him. But again, the main objective for the Warriors should have been in the past and will be going forward to give Kuminga a chance to spread his wings and increase his value to either your team or to another team in terms of trade value. I presented a bunch of options last episode. If you didn't hear it last time, go check it out. But just kind of where the Warriors go from here with the Jimmy Butler injury. And unless you're going to get a good haul or an impact player in trade for Kuminga at this point, which we're going to talk about soon in terms of his market demand or lack thereof, your best option is to just try to develop him, let him play and see if he can impact winning for you. And again, revisit it in the offseason and maybe he plays himself into a valuable trade piece or a piece that you keep on the team going forward. In terms of what it looks like just for this season, kind of a more micro look, I could see him in that six-man role, just in that Jimmy Butler spot where you're leading the bench unit. I think he fits perfectly in that Jimmy Butler spot, playing next to Pods, who in the past, Kuminga and Pods have played very well together. Last night he showed he can play well and when they went on that huge run with Melton and Will Richard in there. I mean, you can play next to both of those guys. You can put Buddy Hield, if he's shooting well, like last night, instead of Richard there. And then he didn't even play last night, but you put Al Horford at the five spot next to Kuminga. And that's one of the reasons you went and got Al Horford, is to free up and give you some spacing out of that center position. You can play him next to Kuminga. And that's a good second unit right there. I mean, we've been seeing it the last few games with Jimmy Butler next to, again, Pods, Melton, Richard, and Horford. And then you have Buddy Hield kind of substituting in there at some point. Enter Kuminga in there, and I think that lineup works, right? It's enough spacing. It's very athletic on the wing. Melton, Richard, and Kuminga, just athletic wings. I like that. Works potentially defensively. Good, maybe good enough. You're going to ask Kuminga to rebound there. You're going to need some rebounding, although Will Richard is also a good rebounder, and so is Pods at his spot. But give that you need to commit to that second unit and give it some runway, you know. And if nothing else, you're finding 15, 20 minutes for Kuminga as Steph Curry rests. The key there is going to be how do we integrate Kuminga into minutes with Steph, with Draymond. It's going to be interesting. Can Kuminga play next to post? Does that hold up defensively? You know, those are the other questions, and we're going to see how he figures it out. But again, the only way to figure it out is to give him a chance to figure it out and play him more. So now that this season seem, I'm not gonna, I know I overreacted a little bit last episode. Maybe I didn't, but this season is more or less a lost season with Jimmy Butler out. So let's give it some runway. You're kind of just gonna be fighting for play-in position, hopefully playoff position. The only way you're really gonna see mass improvement in your team is to give Kuminga a chance to break out. And internally, unless you make a big trade, that's going to be the only way that you're going to find yourself catapulting forward in the standings, is if you get an impact performance from Kuminga in basically full minutes. Okay, moving on off of Kuminga. Well, the last thing I'll say is it sounds like Kerr has committed to giving Kuminga more minutes, at least next game, and we'll go from there. But we'll see how that goes. I'm glad to see that they actually are sticking behind what they're saying, that hey, he just doesn't really fit with Jimmy. Well, Jimmy's gone and they committed to playing Kuminga, so that's a start in the right direction here. Other notes, you know, is Buddy Hield back? Are we getting good Buddy? You know, he's a little bit better stretched lately, as is Gary Payton the second. You know, is GP2, I don't want to say back because he's been playing pretty well, but if that shot starts to fall like it did last night, can those two make an impact? Because those two have been a bellwether of this team in the past couple of years. They've been horrible the first third of the season. GP has been much better, you know, the last month or so. But can you get an impact 15, 20 minutes out of each of them? And that's really going to fill in that wing that, you know, Kerr, I think, sees both of them as small forwards. He even sometimes sees GP2 as a power forward. But those are going to be important minutes to fill in behind an absent Jimmy Butler, obviously, and Kuminga too. All right, let's move on to Dunleavy. So before the game, you guys probably heard the interview. The sharpest quote that he's made and the most revealing quote that he's made. I've got two of them, but the first one was addressing Kuminga's trade demands, and you know, he saw the demands, and basically, in order for there to be a demand, there needs to be demand in the market. Pretty much saying there is not a ton of demand in the market. Maybe there's some. I mean, we know the Kings are interested in Shams. Yesterday said that there's some interest from the Mavericks. So there is some interest, but clearly not enough interest at the price point that Dunleavy has been shopping Kuminga at. Where do the Warriors see Kuminga's value? We don't really know, but at least it's high enough where they're not just going to sell him for a new basketball. I think Joe Lacob has a lot to do with that. Joe going crazy on the sidelines every time Kuminga scored last night shows that he's reluctant to trade Kuminga for nothing, which I agree with. Don't trade him for nothing. You need something impactful. And at this point, again, let's just hold on and try to raise his value. So that was the first point that Dunleavy made. And again, pretty revealing in terms of what the market has been for Kuminga and what they've been exploring. The second remark that he made, which is also tell. I guess there's three of them. The second one was that he doesn't envision trading Jimmy Butler, which essentially leads me to believe that this team, the bigger picture, at least at this moment, is to gear up for next year and make one last dance next year. Dunleavy basically said, you know, we want to just kind of keep going forward, keep growing this team. We like our team, and then hopefully Jimmy Butler's going to return mid next season and infuse a whole bunch of winning into this team, kind of like he did last year. So that's the vision. You're basically playing for next year. You're building your team up for next year. With that in my mind, it means you're building Kuminga up. And I'll say it again, you're either building him up to trade him, because I think if the Warriors are sticking to their principles, they do not believe Kuminga and Butler can coexist on a winning roster. And Draymond, those three just can't be played on the court at the same time. So by that logic, if you're holding on to Jimmy Butler and assuming you're holding on to Draymond Green, you are just trying to inflate Kuminga's trade value. I don't know if that's the best move, but for now, you have time to figure it out. So that's what it tells me that the Warriors are planning and intending to do, unless a market for Kuminga emerges. Lastly, Dunleavy's third bombshell of a comment was that they are open to trading the war chest of picks that they have and open to trading post Steph Curry era picks, as long as it brings in a player that will be impactful in the post-Steph Curry years. I guess that's how I would phrase it, and I would agree with it. You're not going to trade those picks unless you can go get somebody. And the name that pops out to everybody when you hear that is Trey Murphy. If you can get rid of a couple picks, or move a couple picks and get Trey Murphy, he is, in my opinion, that type of player who can impact winning. He has, I think, another 3 years, maybe even 4 years on his contract. He will be around in those years. So, hey, you're getting a guy signed, I could be wrong again, but through at least 2028. And if that's the first round pick that you're giving, the 2028 pick, and then this year's 2026 pick, maybe even something else you would have to give. But that seems to fit the bill, and I'm hopeful that that's who Mike Dunleavy has in mind, because that is the fit of a player that can, A, keep you relevant this year, give you a puncher's chance, and if he comes in midseason and gives you that, what, everything you've been looking for, that small forward position, and Kuminga emerges like we saw last night, hey, this team has a puncher's chance to go on a little run. And then again, with the main objective being build this team up going forward for next year. Actually, sorry, I have to back up. If you're trading for Trey Murphy, you're probably packaging Kuminga in that also. So you probably wouldn't have both. But hey, maybe there is a world where you can get match salaries there. But I apologize. If you get Trey Murphy, you're probably moving Kuminga and those picks. But that being said, you get Trey Murphy, yeah, you are setting yourself up for a last dance where, hey, now you have what we were hoping with a Steph, Trey Murphy, and then a returning Jimmy Butler, and then also Draymond Green as you gear up for 2027. I guess we're gonna leave it there. Again, pretty revealing last night, just in terms of where the Warriors are at with Kuminga, and then their kind of more higher level approach. But again, things change in the NBA pretty darn quick, and the Warriors are still definitely in flux, figuring out what the best course of action is. But 2 weeks to figure out a big move, or what I'm assuming they're just going to stand pat and ride this thing out at least until the off season, which. We'll see how that plays out. And it basically just depends on how Kuminga performs. All right. I will talk to you next time after Dallas, and then a couple Minnesota games coming up where we should see some more Kuminga, and we will be on that roller coaster again. Until next time, I'm Chris Chin. Give me a like, give me a follow. We're all still Warriors fans here. There are good times and bad. So if you've been following here, you are a true Warriors fan in Dumb Nation, and true Warriors fans follow Stack and Dubs. All right, until next time, peace, love, and Stack and Dubs.